Well, again, good morning. And God has been very gracious to me again this morning as He gives me the privilege to stand here and worship Him. I want to exalt our God and our Lord Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. For those who know me, clearly this is God's grace that I'm standing here. And thank you so much for praying for me. Request you all to please stand for the reading of God's word. And turn to the book of Philemon. Hopefully by now you know where the book of Philemon is. This morning will be our final of the 6 lessons in the wonderful little epistle of Philemon. Well, this book is found in the New Testament, after the book of Titus and just before the book of Hebrews. And I'll be reading from verses 17 to 25. Philemon chapter 1 verses 17 to 25. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me. For I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, send greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let's pray for this time. Father, we bow down to you. For you are the Lord of heaven and the earth. Thank you, Lord, that we can read and study and listen to your word. Thank you for your blessing us with this privilege of worshiping you. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to proclaim your word. Father, you really know, Lord, how inadequate I feel to preach your word. So I humbly plead with you to give me boldness to speak. Also, I pray that let no one harden their hearts, but allow your words to cut and penetrate deep down and bring convictions. Also, allow your word to bring peace. Help all those who come to the church be blessed and enjoy the time around your word and grow in you. And with much gratitude, I worship you, Father. Bless this precious time of your worship. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the text for today, as I just read, was from Philemon chapter 1, verses 17 to 25, and the title that I give to these verses is Paul, Mediator for Redemption. And you can follow in the instep as we go point to point, verse to verse, and serve verses. Since we've taken a long break from the series in Philemon, let us first review what some of the spiritual foundations for restoring our broken relationships are. This will help those who were not here for my previous message on this wonderful, though brief, book. Paul wrote this letter to inform Philemon about his runaway slave Onesimus' salvation. And that's not the main reason. Paul wanted Philemon to forgive Onesimus and be reconciled with him as a brother in Christ. although it's hard to forgive and to be really fully reconciled to those who hurt us. But Philemon had to be restored to a slave who most probably stolen something valuable from him and ran away in Rome to be lost in that crowd. And then we know in God's sovereign plan how he landed to the prison where Paul was. And Paul patiently builds his appeal to Philemon step by step and on a spiritual foundations that are essential to restore broken relationships. Those spiritual foundations for reconciliation must form the basis even for us as well. When we attempt to build back broken relationships in our families or in our local churches. And we are deep into the book of Philemon, so we know a lot about Philemon now. But just briefly, let me just look at how Paul addresses Philemon in verse 1. In verse 1, he says, Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. And in verses 4 to 7, we see that Paul had a close relationship with Philemon. And this is because both of them are in Christ and have served the Lord Jesus together. Philemon impressed Paul as one who not just had believed in the Lord Jesus, but demonstrated this in loving fellow believers in his local church. This is what even Vishal Ratnam has been preaching in his sermon from the book of 1 John as well. The Bible consistently makes this one important point and sign for us to examine us, to examine whether we are true Christians or not. And that's then Philemon verses 4 to 7. And he says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. If we truly trust Lord Jesus, we must also love one another in practical ways. The primary foundation for restoring broken relationship is salvation. Both parties of broken relationship must be fellow believers. That salvation experience must be proven being able to love one another. If you are saved, if you are saved and the other person with whom you need to be reconciled is saved, the proof of both of you being saved is that you will love each other to forgive and be restored to one another. Notice, however, in verse 6 that Paul prayed for Philemon. And you can see in verse 6 as I read from there. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Believers, our faith must become effective. That means what we believe, our faith, must become visible and produce fruit. And that is described as the full knowledge of every good thing. This knowledge of every good thing is for the sake of Christ. Only Christ can help believers to maintain or build back broken relationships. Because only Jesus paid the costly price of sacrificing his sinless life to free us from our own sins. Those who have personally understood and experienced their own sins being forgiven can then forgive one another. It is only on this solid foundation that Paul appeals to Philemon about Onesimus. And look at how he speaks in verse 8. Paul has boldness accordingly or because of what he says was true in verse 1 and verses 4 and 7. The next few verses show Paul continuing step by step to help Philemon become convinced that he can be reconciled with this slave Onesimus. I mean, as we move on, don't forget that time, that culture, a slave being reconciled to a master, all that was absolutely impossible. So keep that somewhere in the background as we go forward. Look with me at the things Paul says in this brief letter. Paul mentions in verse 9 and calls Onesimus his child. In verse 11, Paul asserts that Onesimus is now useful, who was earlier useless, is now useful. In verse 12, says that he's sending him back to Philemon. He's sending his very own heart. Someone you would have, I mean, he could have served Paul in the prison. And we can see that in verse 13. From verse 14, Paul makes Philemon take responsibility to decide on his own willingness to be reconciled to Onesimus. Paul is not using any pressure. In fact, he's earlier saying, though I'm an apostle, I'm bold enough, old enough, I can force you. But then he's pleading and saying, it's in your own will. It's in your own, because you belong to Christ Jesus. Hence, he's pleading, and he's pleading on those grounds. Philemon, take responsibility and decide from your own willingness to be reconciled with Onesimus forever and as a brother in Christ. This brings us to the rest of the letter of Paul to Philemon, which gives us a model of how to act as a mediator of reconciliation between believers. And verses 17 to 19, Paul is strengthening the spiritual foundation, and on that foundation, guaranteeing the full payment for the sin of Onesimus, just as Christ did for us to be reconciled to God. Look at verse 17, what he says. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Paul is consistent in his appeal to Philemon. He does that by building on his relationship with Philemon that is already established in Christ. In verse 17, Paul uses the word partner. Partner means sharer, the one who shares or sharing. And describes the richness of Christian fellowship. And fellowship is koinonia in the original language and involves equal participation in each other's lives. Paul and Philemon are both believers who share this deep relationship. So Paul is reminding Philemon of their love and intimacy in Christ. There is a possibility that Paul, who was not only an apostle, but also a businessman, and partnered with Aquila and Priscilla, and we can see that in Acts chapter 18, verse 3. It's mentioned there. That Paul had some business relationship with Philemon as well. There's just possibility. If this verse was, so Paul is adding this business partnership to make this relationship with Philemon a stronger one. They were partners in sharing Christ and business too. Like Paul, Philemon too must have donated much of his income to the ministry of the gospel. No wonder that Paul pushes Philemon a little further than just to be reconciled to Onesimus. Paul and Philemon were very close. And Paul in verse 17b, the latter half, if you can see there, tells Philemon, accept slave Onesimus as he would accept Paul. With the same love, respect, treatment that he would give Paul. And verse 18, he says that if he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. And it is clear that Onesimus had wronged Philemon and ran away. We know that. We've already established that. As Paul had interacted in the prison with Onesimus, God saved Onesimus. While Paul is asking Philemon to forgive and be reconciled with Onesimus, he knows Onesimus needs to pay what he has stolen from Philemon. Sin must be confessed and repented of, but a sinner must be willing to face all the consequences, including paying back what he owes. Paul generously asks Philemon to charge whatever Onesimus owes him on Paul's account. Acting as a mediator between two persons who need to be reconciled will cost you. Paul is doing exactly the same thing that Jesus Christ did to reconcile us to God. For us sinners to be reconciled to God, Jesus paid what we owed to God by taking our place on the cross. He died our death. He took God's wrath on himself instead of us. What Paul is saying in verse 18 is really magnificent and beautiful. Paul is saying, I want to be like Christ. Paul is saying that he's willing to sacrifice and pay in full all that Onesimus owes Philemon, so that Philemon is reconciled to Onesimus. And look at verse 19, as he goes on to say, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me even your own self. We know that almost 50% of the New Testament is written by Apostle Paul. And Paul had someone to whom he would dictate his letters. However, when he had to make an important point, he would write it with his own hand. And we can see that in 1 Corinthians 16:21, Galatians 6:11, Romans 16:22. No need to go there, you can write it down, but again, those places he's mentioned, he writes with his own hand. By writing this section of the letter to Philemon with his own hand, Paul is guaranteeing that he will repay all the debt Onesimus owed Philemon. Paul possibly had business dealings with Philemon, and perhaps Philemon owed some Paul some money. He definitely owed Paul a spiritual debt as a spiritual son. He definitely owed Paul a spiritual debt. Whatever it is that Philemon owed Paul, this makes the point even stronger in his plea. Paul is willing to forgive whatever Philemon owes him and also repay whatever Onesimus owes Philemon. That is Christ-like. Christ paid the redemption price for our rebellion and sin against God, and also guarantees us the blessing of eternal assurance of forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And let's look at verses 20 to 22, where Paul informs Philemon that by forgiving Onesimus, he will be giving Paul a benefit or a blessing, that and thus help Paul to feel relief, comfort and refreshment while suffering in prison for the gospel of Christ. In verse 20 he says, "Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." Continuing his work as a mediator of reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus, Paul informs Philemon that he expects some benefit from his relationship and partnership. When Christians live in unity and do everything possible to maintain that unity through forgiveness and being reconciled with each other, there is a blessing and benefit in that local church. And he has said something like this earlier also in verse 7. In verse 7 of the letter, Paul had said that to Philemon, that Philemon refreshed the heart of saints. Paul now asks Philemon to refresh his heart by forgiving and receiving Onesimus. In our relationship with each other, we too need to refresh one another by dealing with conflicts quickly and living in peace and unity with one another. Even under house arrest, Paul wants benefit and will be refreshed not by the news of his release from the imprisonment, but by mediating reconciliation between Onesimus and Philemon. When Paul's heart is the shepherd's heart, and you can see that there. Paul's heart was not refreshed through earthly gains, but his refreshment came from knowing that believers lived aiming the spiritual things and pleasant and pleasing God through the obedience of the word of God. Amazing it is, right? I mean, seeing the obedience that you are honoring God to the life that he has given you, that gives blessings to Paul's heart, a pastor's heart, that is. We too need to focus on receiving spiritual refreshments and blessings by discipling one another to be practical in our obedience to God. And I just want to leave you with one question there. What refreshes your heart? I mean, let's look at verse 21 there. And then let that question ponder in your heart and mind. What refreshes your heart? What brings you joy? What brings you comfort? What is it that you look forward to? But in verse 21, Paul goes on to say in his plea to Philemon, he says, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Everything Paul has said about Philemon gives him confidence in Philemon's obedience and to be reconciled to Onesimus. This confidence is not hollow words or namesake confidence, just chadawing, you know. The beauty and largeness of Paul's confidence is in his not having treated Philemon as a mere babe in Christ. Philemon did not need to order, to be ordered about or commanded in every detail. He could be trusted to apply biblical principles for himself and carry them out in the way that his own enlightened, convicted he could be trusted to apply biblical principles for himself and carry them out in the way that his own enlightenment and conviction suggested. Under a felt sense of personal responsibility and obedience to the Lord, and again, if you look at verse 8, Paul had clearly told Philemon, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I am appealing to you. So Paul is not commanding Philemon. And Paul had laid down Philemon's characteristics from verses 4 to 7. And on that basis, sure, he would be godly and will act in a righteous way to obey God's command to forgive. God has commanded believers to forgive those who are seeking forgiveness. Paul is referring to a biblical motivation to forgive and be reconciled. It is not only because a debt is owed to you which cannot be paid back, but it is not even because of what he said in verse 20 about being a blessing and a joy to other believers. The purest motivation is because you know and desire to please God. Therefore, you are willing to forgive those who wrong you. In the second part of the verse, Paul gives abundant encouragement to Philemon about his confidence about Onesimus. And look at it. By writing that he knows Philemon will do even more than what he requests him to do, Paul is indicating that Philemon will be more gracious than Paul expects him to be in forgiving Onesimus. Maybe welcome Onesimus with a prodigal son type of celebration. Put on a ring and a robe and kill a fattened calf. Not only would Philemon accept Onesimus as a slave to do the menial service, he might be given an opportunity as a brother in Christ to to serve in spiritual ministry in the church that met in Philemon's house. Again, just a note, remember, Onesimus is a slave. And in that culture, in verse 22, he says, "At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you." Paul is expecting a soon release from this house arrest where he was. Paul is looking forward to meeting Philemon. There is no hint that this statement that Paul desires a follow-up to see in person what Philemon is doing, or has he really forgiven Onesimus? Paul knows Philemon's high Christian character and attainments that he has all along proceeded on that basis, and he's been building up on that since verse 4 till he comes here. Paul is simply saying that he hopes to be with Philemon soon. Paul is optimistic that through Philemon's prayer, he shall be given to Philemon. The sovereignty of God's work, its purpose is through prayers. We join our hearts to those sovereign purposes of God. And we know from James 5 that the effectual prayer, fervent prayer of righteous man does avail much. Paul is very aware of the sovereignty and the providential work of God. And he referred to it back in verse 15 when he assumed that perhaps Onesimus had run away in order that he might come back as a Christian. He knew God was at work in all of this. Paul wanted Philemon to pray, and he didn't think the prayers were mere formality. Paul hoped that he would be through the prayers of Philemon, that they would be together. And then we come to the final two verses, which is the greetings and benediction. Like all other Paul's letters, he concludes with greetings and benediction. That's his style. The salutation from friends being addressed to Philemon personally. While the benediction is extended to all the others as well, who are named in the beginning of the letter in verse 1. And this is amazing. Paul is part of a fellowship. He is not a loner, even in ministry and even in a prison. He identifies Epaphras as a fellow prisoner. He identifies Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke as fellow workers. These five were precious to Paul and precious to Philemon. These five men knew Philemon, and Philemon knew them. Verse 23, Epaphras is introduced as my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, send greetings to you. Paul identifies Epaphras as a fellow prisoner. Epaphras means lovely. And he was with Paul in the prison. Epaphras probably was converted under Paul and is most likely the founder of the Colossian church. Epaphras is mentioned three times in the New Testament. But I would just like to read from Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras is to Paul a dear fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ, and a servant of Christ Jesus. He's always wrestling in prayer and working hard. Paul thought highly of Epaphras. He demonstrated a strong faith, a rich prayer life, a boldness in sharing the gospel, even the risk of suffering, and a deep care for those in whom he had invested spiritually. And if we take, if we think of Bible heroes, I mean, you won't even know Epaphras. But his name is there in the Bible, just a few verses. He's a faithful man. Then verse 24, there are four fellow workers. And they too are sending greetings to Philemon. Verse 24, he says, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Paul identifies Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke as fellow workers. These faithful fellow workers may have regularly visited Paul in the house church to encourage and be encouraged. And we know that Paul wrote four letters from this prison. One is to the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossian church, and this one, Philemon. And these names are again mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 also. And then the second person mentioned there is Mark. Mark is a writer of the Gospel of Mark and a cousin of Barnabas. Mark had deserted Paul and Barnabas in their first missionary journey. But Mark with time became a closer companion of Apostle Peter, who calls him a son. And in time, Mark matured and proved himself worthy even to Apostle Paul. Then there is Aristarchus. He was associated with the Thessalonians, was with Paul at Ephesus during the third journey, and was even captured in the riot at Ephesus. He was with Paul on the voyage to Rome in Acts 27. And then there is Demas. Demas too is a fellow worker who at the end of Paul's life deserted him, having loved this present world. He left Paul and went on to, in the world, he just left him and he deserted him. So one of the five was kind of a Judas. And then we have Luke. Luke is a beloved physician, a Gentile Christian doctor, author of the third gospel as well as the book of Acts. Luke was often Paul's traveling companion. And then we come to the last verse, the benediction that comes from Paul. In verse 25, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace is a source of salvation, and peace is the result. Salvation is by grace, and the result is peace, both from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the source of salvation, but like salvation, must become part of our whole life and in every part of our living. Grace means gift. Grace is God's gift. It's God's gift which changes our nature, our character. It makes us like God, who is the one who gives us his grace. Another word for grace is charm. When someone is charming, that person is beautiful. Not only in appearance, but also in behavior. Paul is sending God's grace to Philemon as a prayer. That Philemon's nature and character will be changed more and more to be like the nature and the character of Jesus. And then in conclusion, how did the story of Philemon end? Did Philemon receive Onesimus? Did he forgive the slave Onesimus? We don't know. The Bible does not give us any more details. But well, I would imagine Philemon did forgive Onesimus. Wouldn't you? I mean, all that pretty wise, convincing, heartfelt appeal and plea from Paul that is laid down to Philemon. And also now, more so also now, all the more because Onesimus was a brother in Christ. And I'm sure that Philemon forgave Onesimus. Otherwise, the letter would have never landed in the New Testament. There had to be a history of what happened in the early church that would have known it. The whole church would have known the precious story and its ending. But history records that there was a man named Onesimus who became the pastor at the church at Ephesus. Can he be the same Onesimus? Maybe. Maybe he's the same slave, forgiven, believer, Onesimus. And such is the power and blessings of forgiveness. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. And I pray that you will continue to allow your precious words to bring conviction. Father, we are so affected by this tremendous lesson in forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us and embracing us and blessing us with this precious gift of salvation. Like Onesimus, please, please continue to save people to your kingdom. Reconcile all those who are far away from you to you. Also, may we forgive one another as you, O God, have forgiven us in Christ. If anyone needs forgiveness and reconciliation among the people in DCC, then let that happen by your grace and in your love. Don't allow anyone to harden their hearts. Restore and guide our hearts to the mind, to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have been gracious to us. You have lifted us from the darkness, lostness, and saved us. Given us your goodness that we too can be forgiven and can forgive others or even our own family members, even as you have forgiven us. Father, your name which is above every name be glorified, magnified, and lifted high above. Thank you, God, for this time. We ask in your most holy, worthy, precious and priceless name of our Jesus and our Savior. Amen.